Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. And of course, I'm joined by my illustrious disaster prepared co-host, Sam Bradley. And we are now recording this in separate locations. I'm on the East Coast, she's on the West Coast, and we are back in our hometown, Sam, and back from the conference.
We are. It's funny you should mention disaster preparedness because they're having one heck of a storm out here in Northern California, and I spend all morning trying to recover from that. So funny you should mention that.
Yeah, and you may hear Sam's birds tweeting in the background. That's part of the ambiance we bring to you here in the Disaster Podcast. We've been just busy as heck lately, Sam. I know you have been as well, and we just got back from the EMS Today conference a few weeks ago, and those of you who've been listening to the show have gotten the material that we picked up there and did our live podcasts, and you can actually see the video of those live podcasts that we've included on the page over at disasterpodcast.com. But it really was a great conference, Sam, and I know you got a lot out of it and got to sit through some pretty interesting education sessions.
Yes, I'm still feeling the afterglow, if you will. And it seems like every one of these shows we do gives you something just a little bit different and more fun, and it is always a new learning experience. And this one was particularly special because we kicked off the Disaster Podcast, so this will be one of the best ever for me, I think.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, of course, we had the whole podcast studio there with all of the episodes of the various shows. Chris Montero's EMS Garage was there. The EMS Leadership Podcast, the Medic Cast, of course, was there. And we just really, our goal whenever we do these conferences is to bring you a touch of what goes on at these conferences, including some of the great educational material for responders and disaster preparedness and everything. And, I think we did a good job with that, along with our partners from Paragon Medical Education Group, Joe Holly and Jim Logan.
Absolutely. And these guys blow me away with what they're doing when they get their cadaver lab up there, and they call it the experience. And it really is. I think it's something that most people haven't had the opportunity to do, or they provide a new way of doing that kind of thing. Because it seems like cadaver labs used to be a lot more plentiful in the earlier days of EMS when I started way long ago than they are now. So this is actually providing quite a unique training experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't have that training experience. I was lucky enough to have a partnership between my paramedic school and the University of Maryland Medical School. So we actually got a day in the cadaver lab, primarily for airway management, but we were able to do some other things while we were there that afternoon. But it is something that is just so different from what you get with hands-on with a mannequin or some other simulation tool. There's nothing quite like managing and handling human tissue.
And that's a lot of what I heard. I talked to some of the folks up there, and I think we would all agree that, medics, nurses, whatever level of medicine you're at, the hands-on experience for most of them seems to be the more valuable. I mean, death by PowerPoint just doesn't work anymore. And this provides them an opportunity to get their hands on, see the lungs actually inflate. I mean, you don't really see what happens inside someone's body when it's functioning, or even when it's not.
And that was one of the things, that's why I think Joe and Jim call this the experience, because you just get something that you really haven't had a chance to participate in anywhere else. And then, of course, I know Joe was doing some education sessions aside from the cadaver lab as well, and you got to sit in on one of those. What was the topic he was covering?
And that was really interesting because I had a friend of mine from San Ramon Valley Fire out here, and actually you will see him on one of the podcasts that we did. But he had done a crush injury presentation for our local fire departments, and that's what Joe was presenting on. But he was looking at it more from the USAR perspective and some of the things that he saw in his USAR experience, and that was fascinating. Andy and I got a lot out of that. In fact, we borrowed his PowerPoint so we could use it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you get when you go to these conferences, folks. I can't say enough about it. If you haven't been to one of these national EMS conferences like EMS Today or EMS World Expo, you really need to look and find out when the next one's going to be somewhere even remotely close to you and make an effort to get there. The opportunities for education, the opportunities for networking, the opportunities to go into the exhibit hall and get your hands on some new innovative equipment before anybody else in your service gets a chance to see it is really exciting. And you just I can't say enough about it. I know, Sam, you and I have been going to these conferences for quite some time, and it always seems new and fresh when we get there.
It is. It's always a new experience. And you touched on something that's particularly important to me, and that's about the networking. Through the different associations I've had, I've met this group of people that, you know, we always come together at these conferences. We come from all parts of the country as well as sometimes internationally. We get folks from Canada, and once or twice a year at these conferences is when we actually get together physically and can enjoy that time together. And I really look forward to that.
Definitely. So let's jump into the topics for this particular segment, this particular episode, because one of the things you got to do, Sam, was go around with your little audio recorder and microphone and do some interviews, spontaneous interviews with some of the students attending this cadaver lab, just to give some of our audience a flavor of what these folks were learning while at the conference in the cadaver lab, the experience there. And do you want to introduce our first segment?
I will. And I was just going to say, in general, one of the things that was really fun for me, maybe you could put some of the photos up that I took, was the intensity with which these people were watching these. Well, let me kind of draw the picture of what that looked like. They had different things going on. They had groups rotating through at least four different presentations, basic airway, advanced airway. I think Jim was doing tourniquet. They were doing a number of different things and rotating through. So the first guy I talked to was from Alaska, apparently up at a very small clinic somewhere up there in the snow. And he coined a term I really got a kick out of. He called it morbidly awesome. And kind of his main point was that he really enjoyed the opportunity to play with some of the new equipment that's out there that they don't have access to up in his little clinic. And, maybe the hopes would be someday that he would have. But that's something he really got a kick out of.
So it's morbidly awesome. What did you learn today that you didn't know?
Well, I was just good to play with some of the new toys, new technology, new video laryngoscopes and kind of see that. We've got some of the old glidoscopes in a clinic up on the North Slope in Alaska. And so it was good to see some of the new technology and some of the clarity they put in the screens and stuff. So, yeah, it was good.
If only we had this stuff in medic school.
Right? Exactly.
Get a better idea of what we're doing with. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
So then I met someone from Prince William County, Virginia, and they said this is a wonderfully helpful experience that I can take back to the field. So this is kind of a good thing, too, that what they're learning, they're going to be able to take back to their operations and share with other people. His only concern was, he said, yeah, it's really great to be out here playing with all these toys, but unfortunately we're bound by protocol such that, you know, we can't just get everything we want, which is unfortunate. But so, take on that being as, okay, since these are wonderful and they're fun to play with, but I don't really have them, he wanted to play with the standard tools, like doing the standard intubation, because one of the things he learned was that, you know, when we learn on mannequins, you know, the mannequins are all kind of the same, but when you're having the opportunity, and let's face it, intubation isn't something a lot of us get the opportunity to do a lot of, so he found that doing intubation on different people gave him a whole different experience, even to the extent that he said, you know, in some cases it's easier to do it on people than it is to do it on mannequins.
That's always been my impression, and I think that's one of the values of a cadaver lab is that you go in and human tissue, no matter how hard they try to make the mannequin's life like, human tissue feels different when you go to put that together. So let's jump in and check out this segment with this guy from Prince William County, Virginia.
Okay.
So.
I thought it was a wonderfully helpful experience that I should be able to carry into the field.
Are you a visual learner?
Not more so. I'm very good at just reading and retaining, but definitely skills. So skills-wise, it's definitely helpful.
So you like the equipment they were using? And
it's definitely, it's cool to see a lot of the stuff, but a lot of the stuff, you know, we're all bound by protocols and what our services provide us. So there's a lot of cool airway adjuncts that I will never get to use in the field, which are cool to play with, but as far as getting the feel for things, it'd be a lot. It's, that's why I was more focused on just using the good old-fashioned laryngoscopes.
Well, so you never know. Things can change down the road.
Exactly.
Too.
Well, if people start paying more taxes where I work, maybe we'll get the Interbrights.
I get that one. Where are you from?
Prince William County, Virginia.
Ah, very good. Appreciate your comment.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
So that was interesting, Sam. But you kept talking to folks, and this is one of the things that I really like, is that there was this international flavor, and we saw this at the conference in general, people from all over, from the London Ambulance Service, from Canada, from Australia, from everywhere, many places around the world. And one of the people attending this cadaver lab was a paramedic from Canada.
Yeah, we seem to get a lot of folks from Canada on down, and that's always nice to see. In fact, you mentioned the London contingent. That was quite a large group of folks that came over. I was pretty impressed with that. I don't know that they got through the lab, but maybe they will one of these days. But my guy from Canada was saying, yes, this is excellent and unique. The first opportunity for him for this kind of experience, and he said it was not to be missed, and this was something would like to encourage other people to do. And most of them, if I asked them if they would come back and do it again, they said absolutely, because, you know, the experience would always be different, not only in terms of what they're teaching, but the fact that there are different cadavers to work with. And, you know, Jamie, I want to backtrack just a little bit, because something I wanted to mention on this is the respect with which they handle these cadavers. Now, these are the people that have given their bodies to science, if you will. And one of the things I noticed that they do is they discuss that at the beginning of the session and want to encourage the fact that they should have some respect for these folks, even to up to and including a moment of silence for them. And I was pretty impressed with that, too.
You know, that's one of the things that I've always been impressed with Joe and Jim, is that they really you know, they bring the right attitude to these types of things. Yeah, it's fun and exciting to do this kind of training, but it is important to recognize where these tools and resources come from. And that was exciting to check out.
It was, and it's kind of funny, but a good friend of mine, she's an older lady, and I was telling her about this, and she's decided she wants to give her body to science so paramedics can learn from her. And she said, well, with all my metal parts, they ought to have fun with that. It's like, well, that's an interesting attitude, but hey, you know, it's a good thing.
Well, it's an important thing to note that everyone's different and the anatomy is slightly different and how folks are, you know, sizes and, you know, it's not a one size fits all world, and we need to train ourselves to be prepared for that. So let's check out what this guy from Canada had to say.
All right.
So I'm getting some audio comments on what people thought about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think?
That's a good question. Excellent experience, unique. Been in EMS for 9 years. First time this has presented itself as an opportunity.
Yeah, that's
even though everybody
neat.
Believes that when they sign up for EMT school or medic school, this is going to be the first thing they see.
That's pretty rare these days.
It is getting.
I think years ago, their cadaver labs used to be more of a part of training, but it isn't always available. So.
Yeah, I think. It's something not to be missed if you're coming to this conference.
You're from Canada.
All the way from Canada,
yep. What part of Canada?
Alberta.
Oh, very good. Well, we're glad you're here.
Thanks
for your comments.
No problem.
It's great to hear these segments, Sam, you know, from the people from around the world. But we also had folks from all over the United States, and including a lady from Long Island who mentioned that she had done another cadaver type management or training situation where she had been doing some advanced airway training, but that it was quite different to manage to have these cadavers and access to the various different stations that were set up there.
Yeah, and you'll love this lady. I love listening to her, and it was so funny because somehow she thought she was managing to hide her accent. You can't hide a Long Island accent. I'm sorry, but she was a lot of fun, and she sounds like somebody who actually attends these conferences quite often, and had mentioned she'd actually been to Advanced Airway Cadaver Labs, but this one in particular. And she also agreed with the fact that practicing on the mannequin isn't the same, but seeing inside the cadaver and seeing how the parts actually function, like when you're bagging, what do the lungs look like when they're expanding, and what happens when you're overexpanding the lungs and that kind of thing. But for her, also the thing that made this experience unique was the fact that there were the new products out there, and this is a great agreement that Joe and Jim have. Is it's also good for the vendors, because it's one thing to talk about a product, but it's another thing to actually see it in use. And this is what's impressing these folks going to the experience, that not only they get to see how it functions, but they actually get to use it.
So let's check out that segment.
So what did you think? I'm getting a few little audio comments here.
I thought the class was more thorough. I have taken the Advanced Airway Cadaver Lab in the past, and it's focused on airway, which has been wonderful. But I feel that this class added more stuff to it with the open of the body, the anatomy, in addition, seeing other products that are out there, such as the IT clamp, which is something new this year. I'm very lucky to have practiced it on a cadaver, because practicing it on a mannequin, when the distributor comes to your office,
exactly,
practicing it on a mannequin, you're not getting any realism. This was realistic practice with the new devices, which is something that I'm very grateful for personally. Found it out.
And where are you from?
I'm from Suffolk County, Long Island, New York.
Long Island. Mm-hmm. See, I was guessing that, but I...
Oh, sorry. I try so hard. I tried so hard to cover the accent. It still comes out.
That's great.
I was
still covering
myself.
And, you know, as we close out and get this final interview you did coming up, we wouldn't be talk about education and training if we didn't talk about the people that were actually currently in training, not the old grizzled veterans, but those folks that are currently in paramedic school or EMT school that are taking this training class and getting hands on these cadavers. And you talked to one guy who was engaged to a physician who was excited to get an opportunity to do something that is really only restricted to medical students.
This is true, and I really enjoyed this guy. I think he was my favorite, in fact. I talked to him for quite a while. But you're right. He's a paramedic student who is engaged to a physician and is actually kind of jealous, because she gets cadaver labs when she does ATLS and those higher-level courses. And now it was like, I finally get to do this experience. But you make a good point, too, Jamie, in the fact that this really it lends itself well to both the grizzled veterans like us and also to the new students that may not have this opportunity otherwise. But we discussed several things with him, and the fact that he was a visual learner, and which as many of them are. And so this gives them a much better opportunity to learn and retain that knowledge than something you'd get out of a textbook or a PowerPoint. But he's the one actually that made the point about the fact that he found it, because he hadn't had the opportunity, of course, as a student, so he wouldn't have had. And of course, in his training, they only use mannequins. So he found it the great value to feel the difference between intubating the mannequin and intubating a human. And he really enjoyed seeing all the new tools. And the funny thing is about this relationship with his girlfriend he's engaged to, his fiance, was that she aspires to being the medical director for their system. And I thought, how great is that? That he can kind of groom her by giving, you know, her information as it comes from the field, and maybe coercing her a little bit into saying, wow, wouldn't it be great to have this piece of equipment or this kind of training in our system? So I really wish I had the ability to catch up with this guy later on. Who knows? Maybe I will, and see how that worked for them.
Yeah, definitely. Let's check that out.
Have you been to many of these conferences?
I have not. She went to a few, not EMS, but conferences when she was in med school. And this is my first conference, so getting an idea of everything, and hopefully we'll come back next year. And we definitely want
to keep coming back.
Right.
You know, you get different speakers and different subjects, and
absolutely,
you can pick out whatever you want to learn about.
Absolutely.
So would you come back to the cadaver lab again?
Oh, I surely would. I was only so unfortunate not to be able to go to the longer one. It didn't really go with when we flew in, so wasn't able to make it to the longer one.
Well, there'll always be a next time, as
absolutely
long as these guys are around. So.
Absolutely. really well. I was pretty excited. I didn't know that this was going to be an opportunity to do cadavers, and I'm pretty excited that was an opportunity. She took her ATLS class and had cadavers, and I wanted to be a part of it so much, but you have to be a provider to do ATLS, unfortunately. So this gave me a great avenue for this, being able to do the cadavers and work with them, so that's great.
So are you a visual learner?
I'm certainly a visual learner.
So seeing it in 3D and being able to touch it and feel it
absolutely
really helps you ingrain it in your brain better than a picture in a textbook.
Absolutely. And then feeling it on different patients, because every patient's different versus the mannequin.
True.
Every mannequin's pretty much the same. They're all made out of the same material.
This is true. So if you were able to intubate a mannequin, that doesn't mean you're going to be an expert in the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, I was talking to Andrew about it, actually. This was significantly easier intubating a human than it was intubating a mannequin because of the rigid plastic.
That's how we fool you. See, we make you think it'll be tougher, and then when you get out there...
And like I said, it helps that you have the right tools at hand. With the new curved handle that Intubright offers, I think that's really great, and that's going to be one of the big selling points I'm going to make to my girlfriend. This is something that y'all need to bring out here. It's going to help facilitate easier intubations and help make, I think, our first-time intubation rates more successful.
Well, you have a great inroad. You got your girlfriend that may someday be your medical director. And
that's what we were talking about last night.
You can let her know exactly what you need in the field.
Absolutely.
Boy, you're a lucky guy.
I sure am. I really hope that it turns out that way. Finish up medic school and hopefully get on the fire department out there. And the hospital that I work for now, they have their own helicopter, Flight for Life is what it's called. And I'm hoping to go and work as a paramedic there as well.
Excellent. Well, it looks like you got a good career ahead of you.
I sure hope
so.
And
a good marriage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Well, Sam, it's great that you were able to pull all of these disparate segments together and do these interviews, and I know you got a lot out of it personally, just going down and seeing that education in progress and seeing what these guys were doing. But it wouldn't have been done and wouldn't have been made possible without the support of our disaster podcast partners, Paragon Medical Education Group, and Joe Holly and Jim Logan really have done something that is above and beyond the typical educational experience out there.
So I think it would behoove everybody to check out what we're talking about. It's a little hard to hear about it and not understand, and not be able to be clear on what we're saying. So going to their website would give you a much better idea of what we're talking about and show you where they're going to be at any given time. So all of that information will be up on the website, I assume, Jamie.
Absolutely. And we'll have links at disasterpodcast.com in the show notes for this episode. There's a link also on the right-hand side of the page to Paragon's page at paragonmedicalgroup.com. So you can follow those links there directly as well.
It's been fun having two co-hosts talking to each other. We haven't done that yet.
No, we haven't. And it's exciting to continue to grow the show. I know, Sam, you're working hard and on the next content, the next episode for next week, and we're going to have some exciting things in the plan for you. In the meantime, I want all of you to know that you can always leave a comment over on the disasterpodcast.com website on any of the episode links there. And when you leave a comment, it actually emails us. So go ahead and leave a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for a topic for a future episode, or you have a question about something you heard in an episode. Whatever the case may be, we want you to get back in touch with us. Make this a partnership between yourselves and ourselves, and so that we can go out there and bring you the content in the disaster podcast that you want to hear.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's really important to us. When we've looked at all of the different subjects that we can call out of this concept of disaster medicine, there's just so many things, and we really want to know what you want to talk about, what you have questions about. So yes, please do give us comments.
Definitely. Well, Sam, I think it's time for us to go. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and of course you can find all of my stuff over at the MedicCast site at MedicCast.com, and of course this show over at DisasterPodcast.com. And Sam, where can folks find you?
Well, if you search Sam Bradley just about anywhere, and actually I'm the mention that much, but Sam Bradley 11 on Twitter and Sam Bradley on Facebook and all the usual places. But I think the home is going to be thedisasterpodcast.com.
Excellent. Sam, what do you have to say about disaster medicine?
What I have to say about it is it's not your everyday medicine.